sports director from WVUA Television, Alabama's home team. He's Gary Harris. Gary, good to talk to you again, man. Second time this week after I got an opportunity to be on your show this week.
Yeah, a lot of fun having you on TI TV, and now we're, I guess I'm kind of returning the favor.
Well, no, I owe you about 1,000 still in terms of catching up on the favors. You've been awfully generous with your time each week here on the show. Let me start on a basketball note. Excited about Hoops on the Hardwood tomorrow, but not as excited, frankly, as I was about 45 minutes ago. Then the word came down that Christoph Varidel will be medically unable to play this year for the Crimson Tide. I know he was a late addition to a signing class they were very pleased with already. But this is a guy that I think a lot of us, Gary, were excited about seeing play and what he could bring as an outside shooting threat, and he's never going to get a chance to suit up. That's a big disappointment.
It is, and I just heard it. And, the thing that strikes me is he's a new player in this program, but he's a proven Division I commodity. And it's a guy that I think they were counting on to be able to make some long-range shots, to draw the defense out and open up some things in the mid-range and inside game. I really was excited about seeing him. And, he's a guy that I thought played under control. It wasn't like he was undisciplined, but he was capable of, when he was open, of popping it from, outside 22, 23, 25 feet. I mean, he really had serious range. So, it's disappointing. I mean, it seems like this. It's been very difficult for this basketball roster under Anthony Grant. I know you only play five at a time, but I don't think they've had a single season here where they've had 13 guys on scholarship, and or at least recruited scholarship players. I know they've added a walk-on here and there and given them a scholarship when they've had them open. But people say, well, you only play five, you usually don't play more than 9 or 10 max. But it's still, if they're going to give you 13, my feeling has always been, why not have 13? why not have 13 on scholarship? And for various reasons, whether it be medical issues or guys transferring out or guys quitting, they just have had a hard time having a full roster, and they were going to be, and I'm not looking at the numbers, but I know they were going to be at least 12, possibly 13 this year. They would have been pretty close to full. And so this is disappointing news, and, nothing anybody can do about it. I mean, it's kind of caught me off guard and kind of came out of left field. And the guy that I was excited about seeing is not going to be part of that basketball team. And, again, he never played a minute here at Alabama, but he was a known commodity, great shooter, athletic kid that could, like I said, could spot up and get his, knock down the open shot, but also could create off the dribble. So it's disappointing news for Alabama basketball, no doubt.
It is. I will tell you, I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing tomorrow, though, because I think that promotions like this and events like this, while they may be done a lot of other places, Alabama's a place where it needs to be done. So I think something like tomorrow is definitely a positive step in the right direction.
No doubt. I think it's got to be done, Chris. I mean, I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly here, but the reality of it is that, especially in the men's program, basketball interest has waned. I mean, that's just a fact. Now, the women's program, I think, is certainly on an upswing. Christy Curry has brought in a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. And last year, they were very competitive for the first time in a long time. But, you and I have seen Coleman Coliseum when it rocks. We've seen this program when the fan interest is high and basketball is a hot ticket, and people can't wait to get to Coleman Coliseum and get in their seats and watch Alabama play basketball. Quite frankly, it hasn't been that way the last couple of years. Again, that's just the reality of it. There's been a lot of empty seats, and for the most part, the fan enthusiasm just has not been there. Even the student support has been down. So I think you have to, as a program, and I'm not going to talk about just the coach, the players, but people in terms of the marketing and the promotion, everybody as a basketball program has got to come together and say, hey, yeah, the product on the floor is the most important thing. How you play is going to dictate more than anything else your fan interest. But there are things that you can do, particularly in the preseason, to get people excited about your team. And I think tomorrow is a big step in that direction for both the men and the women's teams. And I'm excited about it, and I know you are. And I think it'll give people a positive feeling to be able to get out there and interact with the players. And because it's built around a big home football game on the quad, there's going to be, literally thousands and thousands of people that are going to get a chance to cross paths with the players, shake Anthony Grant's hand, get autographs. And I think when you feel a connection to the team, it makes you a lot more apt to go to a game and watch them play. I really do. I think it's a great event.
Gary Harris is the sports director at WVUA Television right here in Tuscaloosa. He and all of our guests join us on the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Let's turn it to football, where the product was not as good the last couple of weeks as Nick Saban wanted to see. Fans, the players, most of all themselves, wanted to see a better product than they've seen. But the reality is they are still very much in the SEC West, SEC title, national championship picture. But this is one of those you cannot afford to let get away, and it ain't going to be easy when the Aggies come rolling in for a 2:30 start.
It's going to be very difficult. You know, 2 weeks ago it was difficult, and they came up on the short end. Last week was difficult, and they came up on the right end. I think every week in the SEC, Chris, it's going to be a battle for this football team. And that doesn't mean that they can't win the rest of them. I think they're fully capable of winning the rest of them. But I don't see a lot of easy games, you know, maybe Western Carolina, you know, outside of the conference. But I think every one of these games in the SEC is going to be a war. I think Alabama's a good football team, but there are a lot of good football teams in this league, particularly in this division. And this is not going to be a team, in my opinion, that is going to be able to just go out and overwhelm people the way some of these teams in the past have. And you're looking up at halftime and you're saying, well, this one's over. You know, even the Florida game, which wound up being a 41-21 game, you know, it's you know, after Florida scores the defensive touchdown, it's, you know, it's 21, or sets up another touchdown with a defensive turnover, and Driscoll runs it. It's 21-21 in the third quarter, in 21-21. So I think all the games are going to be second-half games. I think tomorrow it's crucial that Alabama defense not give up the quick-hitting plays to Kenny Hill. You know, he struggled at times the last couple of weeks, but still, they're capable of you know, dropping him back, and you know, you having a missed assignment in the secondary, and the next thing you know, it's a 75-yard touchdown. You know, they've run one play, and they're up on you. I think this Alabama team has to make them work for everything that they get, make them earn it, and then offensively control the ball. You know, I know everybody's concerned about scoring points. I am too. I mean, you know, ultimately that's what you want an offense to do, but I think in this game, if you're controlling the ball, you're getting first downs, you're wearing down their defense, and you're also keeping their offense off the field. You know, they can't play fast if they don't have the ball, Chris. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So I think offensively tomorrow, Alabama's at home. You know, Bradley Bozeman's got a full game under his belt now at center, so I think things will be a lot smoother in terms of getting the play call, getting the protections call, getting the snap off, you know, prior to the clock running down. I just think you'll see a much better offensive performance. I look for Alabama to play well. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to win the game, because A&M will have a lot to say about that too. But I think Alabama will play a lot better tomorrow at home than they have the last couple of weeks.
Gary, I know this is not exactly a startling revelation, but I have been saying for the last 2 weeks that if they don't turn the ball over and commit some of the penalties, I'm not saying you're going to play a perfect game, but if you don't turn it over and cut the penalties in half, that for this particular team is still good enough to win, unless you catch somebody on their best day, isn't it? I mean, of those that are left on the schedule, do you think that's still good enough for this particular team?
I think so. I mean, I think if you look at it so far this season, you know, they have not done a good job of cutting down the penalties. They have not done a good job of limiting the turnovers, and they still have won them all but one. You know, they beat Florida when they turned it over four times and had a bunch of penalties. And, you know, in all honesty, was in position to beat Ole Miss. And then last week, from just an execution standpoint, that was a very poor game by Alabama in terms of penalties, in terms of, you know, not protecting the football, and they won the game. So, yeah, you would think if they cut those in half, they'll be very difficult to beat. And I think that's a good goal, Chris. I like the sound of that, cut them in half, because I just don't think this team is going to play mistake-free football. I just don't think that's who they are. You know, some of the teams around here in the past have, for the most part, been mistake-free. You know, they've been first or second or third in terms of penalties. They've been near the top in terms of turnovers. This team's just the opposite. They're near the bottom in turnovers and near the bottom in penalties. So I think to think all of a sudden you're going to go out and, like you said, and play a perfect game, I don't think that's realistic. But I do think you can cut them down. I do think that you can take, you know, better care of the football, limit the turnovers, and you'd like to think you won't have any. But, you know, one or two turnovers, you know, maybe four or five penalties, and they'll be hard to beat. I agree with you there. They've got to do a better job. But by the same token, this team, for whatever reason, does seem a little mistake-prone. So I think to some degree you just have to play through them. You know, if they happen, you can say, hey, you know, we've overcome them before. We've just got to overcome them again. Having said that, you certainly want to do a better job of taking care of the football, particularly because a lot of the turnovers have been, as Coach Saban said this week, just judgment, you know, poor decisions, you know, trying to jump on a ball when it's on the ground and six or seven guys around it, you know, not holding the football high and tucked, you know, next to your chest. You know, Kristen Jones in particular, when he returns those punts and kicks, he's trying to get extra yards. I understand that, but he's holding the ball low. It's easy to slap out. Those types of things are correctable, and they need to be corrected. So, yeah, if this team did play mistake-free, I think they could be really, really good. But if they just limit the mistakes, yeah, I think they'll be hard to beat.
Gary Harris is joining us on the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Gary, a couple of things. Stepping away from Alabama and Texas A&M, looking around the SEC, another big one for Ole Miss as they try to keep things going. Does Tennessee have a shot at all in Oxford?
In the SEC, I always like to say you've got a shot. I mean, I just think that SEC teams have enough athletes and players that, yeah, you've got a shot. You know, if you play perfect and Ole Miss, for whatever reason, lets down, you know, coming off these two huge wins, has an off day, yeah, Tennessee's got a shot. Realistically, do I think they're going to win the game? No. I think Ole Miss would have to really help them out. I think Ole Miss could play less than their best at home and still win the game. But, yeah, I think Tennessee has a shot, but they'll have to play a perfect game. You know, the thing that's frustrating, I'm sure, for Tennessee fans is, I mean, they have bought in. I think they love Butch Jones. I think they love the direction. I think they love the way he's running the program. But it's a lot like the deal with Bielema at Arkansas. At some point, you got to win some games. I mean, you know, your excitement and enthusiasm, like we were talking about with the men's basketball team, you know, at some point, it's about the product that's out there. Tennessee needs to beat somebody. You know, they had Florida, you know, dead to rights and let them get away. So clearly for them, if they could go into Oxford, Mississippi and stun Ole Miss, I mean, it would be a milestone win. I don't see that happening. I think I probably undervalued Ole Miss just a little bit. Even after they beat Alabama, I knew they were a good team, but I was really impressed with how they came back last week on the road at A&M and really took care of their business. So I don't see them being a team that's going to beat Alabama at home, beat A&M on the road, and then slip up and lose to Tennessee in Oxford. I just don't see that happening.
Gary, I know it doesn't have the crazy marquee value of the last 2 weeks, but I really am intrigued by the SEC schedule in these other three games, or three of the other four. South Carolina, Furman didn't do anything for me, but Georgia, Arkansas, Kentucky, LSU, Missouri, Florida all have some pretty interesting storylines, even though they're not the dominant national stories that we saw the previous weeks with the Western Division team squaring off against each other. Let's start with Fayetteville, and just real quick on each of these. Can Georgia play at the level in Fayetteville that they did a week ago in Columbia, Missouri?
Well, you know, first of all, that was an impressive performance, and I don't think Missouri is a great football team, but Georgia really circled the wagons and played. I think I saw where that might have been their first shutout ever on the road of a top 25 team, and, you know, they played really, really well. Arkansas is a team nobody wants to play. You know, you and I talked about this last week. They are going to beat somebody. You just don't want it to be you. You know, and Alabama got out of there. You know, Alabama got out of there. Let them beat somebody else. I do think this could be the week, and I'll tell you why. I'm sure the fans probably would prefer it if the game were in Fayetteville, but still, Little Rock is a tough place to play, and Arkansas is close, and I do think there's a mental edge right now for the West teams when they play the East teams. I just think the mentality in the West is we're better division. You know, the last place team here in the West competes for the championship in the East. So I think Arkansas, well, as I was talking about with Tennessee, at some point you got to beat somebody. I see nothing that says to me that Arkansas is letting up or laying down. They know they're close. They know they want to win. Georgia is playing, I think, a better football team than they played last week. I think Arkansas is better than Missouri. And I think Georgia is certainly capable of winning the game, but I think this is a prime spot for Arkansas. I just really, really do. I think they learned a great lesson in the Auburn game when it got away from them in the second half. I think they learned a bigger lesson in the A&M game when it got away from them in the fourth quarter. And I think they learned yet another lesson in the Alabama game when they look back at the film and they say, you know what, we might have outplayed Alabama. We probably controlled that football game and deserved to win it. So I think this could be the week for Arkansas. I really do. I'm going to go out on a limb, in fact, and pick them to pull the upset over Georgia.
Gary, I know you got your picks coming up later, so we'll skip past Missouri, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, as well as Notre Dame, Florida State. I would imagine those are all things you'll touch on tonight. But I want to get your thoughts on kind of the high school scene. You guys are so busy with that. I know you'll have the full recap tonight, but give me a couple of games you're really looking at from our local area on the prep scene.
Well, it's interesting, Chris, because there's only 3 weeks left in the regular season. You know, you snap your fingers and it's gone. You know, we'll be in the playoffs in 4 weeks. So tonight, our game of the week is one that people might hit scratch their head on just a little bit. But Sipsey Valley and Holt is an interesting game, and I'll tell you why. Holt, you know, has lost, I think, 19 in a row. They've won two games this year, so they've got a couple of wins. Sipsey Valley also has two wins, but Sipsey Valley clinches a playoff spot with a win tonight over Holt. It's also a rivalry game. Antonio Ford, the head coach at Sipsey Valley, went to Holt. The interim head coach at Holt coached last year at Sipsey Valley. So that's one of those games where there's a lot of interesting storylines. It's also Holt's homecoming. So that is a game that certainly we're going to be spotlighting. You mentioned the Tuscaloosa County High game. You know, they lost a couple of heartbreakers. And then last week against Hoover, as is often the case with Hoover, it got away from County High there in the second half. But still, you know, they're fighting. They got a chance to pick up a big win tonight. You know, the Hillcrest Ball Club is a team that is very, very interesting under Sam Adams. His first year, that's a team that it potentially could win their region. So we'll be watching them close as well. I think I'm not at the station right now, but I think we had 14 games last week. I think we're down to 12 or 13 tonight, Chris. So we got it covered, that's for sure.
No question about that. All right, you've given me the high school deal. Let's talk about what you got the rest of the weekend, because it's a busy lineup of sports coverage. Nobody does it better on the TV side of things than you guys at WVUA. And after tonight with the prep stuff, what are we looking at for tomorrow?
I appreciate it, Chris. Tomorrow morning we've got our usual lineup. Tide TV this week, a replay of Tider Insider. Hey, Coach, Nick Saban's radio show from Thursday night, which is videotaped, and we play it back on Saturday morning. And, of course, 11 a.m., our highlight show, the one of our signature shows, Crimson Tide Kickoff, live from the UA campus, as always. And our special guest tomorrow will be Governor Robert Bentley. So we're excited about having the governor. Also, Antonio Langham, former great Alabama All-American defensive back and NFL player, Billy Lucci from TexasAgs.com. So we'll have the A&M perspective. Our millisecond feature with B.J. Milliken will be on Big Al. And so we got a great show lined up. And then tomorrow night at 10:15, following the news at 10, Sports Saturday with B.J. Milliken and Jen Chapman will be making her debut, our new weekend anchor alongside B.J., and we'll have a recap of Alabama and Texas A&M, plus the rest of the SEC, national, state, and local action. So another jam-packed weekend on WVUA.